Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and on Amazon.com. Thank you for listening to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And I am joined today by loneliness. It's just me. But that's okay. We're going to talk a lot of basketball and talk about Wednesday, November 16th, the DFS slate, 11 games on the schedule. Injury-wise, only a couple guys are currently ruled out, but we got a lot of guys questionable for Wednesday's games. Drew Holiday remains out for personal reasons, but he'll be back on Friday. That's the expectation. Jay Crowder will remain out again for Boston, and Pat Beverly will be out again for the Houston Rockets. Doubtful players. Jahlil Okafor is expected to rest on the first night of the back-to-back set for the Philadelphia 76ers, which means we should see a lot of, the 24 minutes of Joel Embiid that we've been seeing. Al Horford remains questionable to doubtful with his concussion. They've kind of been dancing around that issue. Al Horford has the Celtics. They're just, until he's cleared, we're not going to hear it. So he's going to seem doubtful. I think he's somewhat more questionable for Wednesday's game, but we'll see what happens. Will Barton is doubtful with his ankle issue. We thought Barton was going to be out several more weeks after this last weekend when Coach Mike Malone came out and said, the timeline we got was 4 to 6 weeks. Well, now they're saying he's listed as questionable. He's been practicing the last couple days, although he wasn't able to make it through all of Tuesday's practice because his ankle acted up a little bit. So it sounds like Will Barton's getting close to returning, but Denver's not exactly the best team in regards to the way they give out injury information. They seem to, a lot of times, kind of either play down the injury or they'll talk optimistically about it at times that they shouldn't. It's weird. But anyways, questionable players, got a stack of them. Bradley Beal remains questionable, and Washington's playing on a back-to-back, so even if he does play, they've said that he's going to have a minutes limitation, so that's not exciting about Bradley Beal's value for DFS. Andre Drummond has a sprained ankle. He missed Detroit's last game. He's questionable playing against New York. If Drummond can't go, you're looking at a guy like Aaron Baines to step up again. Aaron Baines, I believe, played 33 or 34 minutes in their last game, Detroit's last game with Drummond out, had a nice night. Dwight Howard picked up a quad contusion in Tuesday's game, so he's questionable for Wednesday. And you have to feel like back-to-back quad contusion, why wouldn't they just hold Dwight Howard out? And if they do, you start to get really excited about Mike Muscala and how many minutes he might end up getting. And then also Paul Millsap potentially too, if Dwight Howard's out, and Dennis Schroeder. Really the ripple effect there should be kind of nice. Paul Millsap actually went to Coach Bud Budenholzer and said, hey, look, if Dwight can't play, it's okay. You can put me at center. I'll go out there and do it. So well, that's kind of interesting too, because if having that, knowing that Paul Millsap is comfortable moving up to center and having that as a tool for Budenholzer, it makes you feel like Paul Millsap might get leaned on a lot if Atlanta really wants to try and pull out this win on the second night of a back-to-back. Dirk Nowitzki remains listed as questionable with his Achilles issue, but I don't think he plays against Boston on Wednesday. Quincy Acey from Dallas also has an eye issue that he got hit in the face last game, so he's questionable. And then Deron Williams remains questionable with his calf strain. But again, the word we got out from Dallas over the last week is that Deron Williams was going to be doubtful for this game. Now they have him listed as questionable. We'll see. I don't think he plays though. Tyson Chandler, he's listed as questionable, or kind of looked at as questionable, because we haven't gotten a good update on him yet. He went through a practice yesterday with the Suns. He is back with the team. It appears he's more probable than he is questionable to play in Wednesday's game. So if Tyson Chandler's back, that takes away minutes from Alex Len. It's possible. Look, we don't know what's going to happen with Tyson Chandler. His mom died, so he's getting through that. It's personal, all that jazz. Darrell Arthur from the Nuggets, he's questionable with his knee stuff. he's been questionable pretty much every game this year. Tony Allen is listed as questionable with his groin injury, but he's probably more doubtful than he is questionable. Wesley Johnson with his heel injury, questionable for the Clippers. And then Danny Green with his groin issue that creeped up in the Spurs last game. Green said he was fine after the game, after the last game, even though the Spurs held him out of the second half. But they have him listed as questionable, and the Spurs always try to play it safe with their guys. They're not on a back-to-back set, though, so they have Thursday to rest them and all this kind of stuff. We'll see what happens, but Danny Green is listed as questionable. Probable Damari Carroll, he's probable to play on Wednesday after sitting out Tuesday's first game of the back-to-back set. We saw Norm Powell start in his place again on Tuesday. We'll see what happens here on Wednesday. There seemed to be this air on Twitter while watching all the news come out on Tuesday that Damari Carroll, there's this lack of clarity regarding his situation, whether or not his limited minutes are due to injury or due to just the team trying to get him calibrated correctly so they can actually get decent value out of the guy they signed last year and haven't really gotten much value out of. Wilson Chandler, hamstring, he's marked as probable for Denver as well, probably expecting him to play. Etwan Moore is probable with his toe issue that kept him out of last game. And then Anthony Davis is probable with his back issue. Anthony Davis' back issue thing is going to scare a lot of people off in DFS, so he might be owned in less places. And that's... having that ownership percentage down is interesting. We haven't really seen Davis hitting value consistently lately, but he's still putting up really good production. It's just not the kind of production that – it's not enough for the salary that he has. Then again, when you look at power forward on Wednesday night and you're looking at the big money options, if you want to throw a big money guy in there, you got Anthony Davis, you got Draymond, you got Blake Griffin, you got Paul Millsap, kind of, he's like 7.4K. But, you know, 8,000 and above, Draymond, Blake, and Anthony Davis, all those guys are interesting, and they hang around their value, but they don't necessarily hit value for what you're spending on them salary-wise. So if you're looking at the highest possible potential, Anthony Davis is there, and it's an interesting play from the perspective that, in certain respects, you're being contrarian if you go with him. Against some people's idea that he's just too much of a risky play for DFS in certain respects. All right, 11 games on the docket, back-to-back. Second day of a back-to-back, Toronto, Atlanta, and Cleveland all played on Tuesday. And then first night of a back-to-back, Philadelphia, Houston, New York, Milwaukee, and Washington. All those guys are going to play on Thursday as well. So let's get into it. Top plays. Going to do this a little bit differently. I'm going to give you my big money play that I would use at each position. I'm going to give you my value play or my favorite value play at each position. And then I'll list off a couple other guys. And then that's the way we'll carry it today. At point guard, my big money play that I'm going to get into my lineups, it's Russell Westbrook. He is 11.5K. He scored 52-plus FanDuel points in each of his last four with 77 FanDuel points in one of those games. 11.5K, you're looking at, I mean, you want to get 55 to 60 FanDuel points out of this guy. So the thing is, he's going up against Houston, right? Houston, big, lots of possessions, fast game, supposed to be a 217.5 over under. It's not the highest over under of the night, though, Houston OKC. You've also got a 220 over-under for the Golden State-Toronto game, and you got a 221.5 over-under for the Phoenix and Denver game. So some huge over-unders on Wednesday night to consider. And if you're going with a big money option at point guard for Wednesday, I like Russell Westbrook. I'm willing to spend that money on him, just anticipating a monstrous game against Houston. Jamal Murray is my value play at just 3.7K. If Will Barton's out, you're really comfortable with this Jamal Murray play. Early in the season, we saw Jamal, look, he's 3.7K. He's nearly the bottom salary that you can play here. And with Moutier struggling and Coach Malone complaining about Moutier's turnovers this week, maybe they start to give Jamal Murray some more run. Maybe they start to give Jameer Nelson some more run that then leads to Jamal Murray playing a little bit more. Gary Harris is going to be out for 4 weeks with his ankle issue. And then you've still got Will Barton most likely out. So there's room here for Jamal Murray to step up, have a really good game at a very low salary price. He's actually hitting his shots now like he wasn't early in the season. He started off like 0 for 21 or something on his jump shots or whatever. He's doing fine now. So Jamal Murray at 3.7K. Some other point guards to consider. Big money options. Steph Curry at Toronto. He's 9K. He's hit value in three of his last four games. So you like that Steph Curry is kind of finding his groove now there with Kevin Durant and everything's mixing up. I'd be fine spending 9K on Steph Curry if you don't want to go the 11.5K on Russell Westbrook. If you want to go even just a little bit cheaper, you can save another $1,000. You can go Kyle Lowry versus Golden State going up against Steph Curry. You don't hate this price. You hate the back-to-back situation for Toronto having played Cleveland, but Kyle Lowry scored 40-plus FanDuel points in four of his last five games, and he's generally a pretty safe play right now. Kyrie Irving at Indiana. Again, you don't necessarily like the – you don't hate the price, 7.4K. You do hate the back-to-back for the concern that, well, what if Cleveland finally decides to rest some of their guys this season? They haven't done that yet. But Irving has scored 35 FanDuel points in three of his last four, so he's hitting value or close to that every single night, so it's a pretty safe play. Marcus Smart versus Dallas, 5.7K. We've seen Marcus Smart playing a ton of minutes. If Al Horford's back, maybe that brings down Marcus Smart's possession some. It's likely to happen. But you love the minutes we're getting out of Marcus Smart. You love the fact that with Jay Crowder being out, he's probably going to start again and match up against either Justin Anderson or Harrison Barnes. And a good chance that it's Harrison Barnes. J.J. Barea at Boston, 5.8K. Barea is a safe play if Deron Williams is still out. So, and we've seen that. He's getting like 34 minutes a night on average. Starting that point guard right now for the Dallas Mavericks. 5.8K is just, it's a reasonable salary. It's about what the value that he's been putting up lately. So J.J. Barea, consider that against Boston. And then Malcolm Brogdon, another kind of minimum salary-ish guy to consider. He's playing at Atlanta. He's a Milwaukee Bucks rookie. Comes off the bench, does a little bit of everything. 3.7K. This is just a situation where you've got 3.7K left, say for whatever reason. Like, I don't know why you would put Brogdon in over Jamal Murray for Wednesday night. I can't recommend doing that. But if for whatever reason you don't want to use a 3.7K Jamal Murray or you're doing tons of lineups, maybe throw Brogdon in and just know he's likely to get back the value for you at that 3.7K because he's going to get minutes. He's a consistent part of the rotation. All right, let's move on to the shooting guard. Big money option to go with on Wednesday night. Giannis Antetokounmpo playing against Atlanta. He's 9.6K. He had a two-game low where a couple games ago, but otherwise he scored 42 FanDuel points, 42 or more FanDuel points in every single game this season with four different 50-point FanDuel nights. It's a good situation. The Bucks have been resting for several days, haven't played. You like that. If Dwight Howard is out, there's less rim protection, theoretically, although we saw Paul Millsap at the second half of last season go crazy on the block. So maybe Paul Millsap becomes an issue for Giannis defensively, but Atlanta's also playing on the second night of a back-to-back. Maybe their legs are tired. Maybe they're just not able to match up with the dominance that is the Giannis. Value play. Tomas Satoransky at Philadelphia, 3.7K. The reason I love Satoransky as a value play on Wednesday is because he's safe in a blowout. He's put up 14-plus FanDuel points in four of his last five games. Bradley Beal, even if he plays, is supposed to be on a minutes restriction. John Wall, he's supposed to be cleared for back-to-backs now, so we're expected to see John Wall play on Wednesday, and then Thursday morning they're going to decide whether or not to play him in Thursday's game. So with that said, if the Wizards do decide to play John Wall in both games of the back-to-back, he's going to have a minutes limit in one of the games. Now, they play against Philadelphia on Wednesday, and then they play against New York. Neither of those games are particularly, you know, hard, but they're also supposed to be games that the Wizards are planning on winning or expecting to win in certain respects. So from, obviously, maybe they're not planning on winning both games of a back-to-back set, but if you look at a back-to-back set and you're saying, you know, you're Scott Brooks and you're looking at it and you're going, I think we can win both those games, you know? Philadelphia, New York, we can win those games. They are winnable games. So with that in mind, the Wizards have said, look, we're thinking about playing John Wall in both games. If we're going to do that, though, he's going to have limited minutes in one of those games. So if they blow out Philadelphia on Wednesday, then we'll get more minutes out of John Wall on Thursday. Or if the game is close on Wednesday, maybe John Wall rests on Thursday. Maybe he just plays less minutes. That's kind of seems to be what is going to be implied here. Knowing that, going back to point guards a little bit, that's kind of the reason why I'm fading away from even looking at John Wall right now at all. Other shooting guards to consider: Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at New York. He's just 4.8K, has put up 24-plus FanDuel points in three of his last four games. Just feels like a pretty safe play right now. KCP at 4.8K. You like the price. I do, at least. DeMar DeRozan at versus Golden State Warriors. 9.2K. Good. Safe. Scored 45 FanDuel points and 49 FanDuel points on the Raptors back-to-back this last weekend. So you're not necessarily, if you're using that to inform your decision, you're saying, well, I'm not too worried about DeRozan on the second night of a back-to-back, but I don't think he's been rested at all this season yet. So, and that's not to say that the Raptors are ardently looking to rest DeRozan, but if you're going to pick a night, if you're going to look at the schedule and say, hey, which game are we definitely going to lose? you're not going to say definitely, but the Raptors just played Cleveland on Tuesday night. They played their big guys, big minutes. And then they got Golden State on Wednesday. This might be one of those games where you're just like, you know, we're going to go the Spurs route. We're just going to throw out Corey Joseph, Norm Powell, Terrence Ross, you know, everybody we don't, all of our bench guys. We're going to throw them out there and let them play big minutes for the most part. But we'll see. No, I'm just talking like possibilities. We haven't actually heard that anybody that, like, you know, mass teams or, you know, mass rests are going to happen. The only team we've seen mass rests out of really has been Dallas against Golden State last week, which was almost like, you're like, wait a minute, Bogut's going back to Golden State and they're not going to play him? But it is be what it be, do what it do. Shooting guard is not, there's not a lot of good mid-tier players. So, like, if I can fit Giannis and DeRozan into my lineup and then build around them, I'm going to try and do that in certain respects on FanDuel. Sheldon McClellan, if Bradley Beal is out, we saw Sheldon McClellan start the Wizards last game at shooting guard ahead of Marcus Thornton. McClellan is just 3.5K. He played 35 minutes in that last start. So at 3.5K, and if he's going to get huge minutes potentially against Philadelphia, you also think he's blowout proof because he's a rookie who nobody knows. So Sheldon McClellan is a good punt play, especially if Beal is out. Well, pretty much only if Beal is out, but especially if Beal is out. All right, let's move on to small forwards. Big cash guy to look at, Kawhi Leonard, playing against Sacramento, 8.5K. He scored 50 FanDuel points on them in their first meeting this season. And the only time we've really seen Kawhi not hit value or get reduced minutes this season has been on back-to-back sets. That is not the case here. Sacramento's playing the San Antonio Spurs are playing Wednesday at Sacramento and then Friday at the Lakers. I like this matchup for Kawhi. I'm willing to pay the 8.5K and get him out there. A value-ish play, TJ Warren at Denver, 6.3K. He's safe with some upside. We've seen TJ Warren play at least 31 minutes in every single game except one. And then in that other game, I think he played 28. Like, he's getting huge run. He's arguably the second, third option on every single night for the Suns right now. There's no reason to be afraid of TJ Warren at 6.3K. Other options to consider at the small forward position: Harrison Barnes at Boston, 6K. If Dirk is out, you're still a little bit worried about the Boston defense, but whatever. Harrison Barnes, 6K. He's been putting up value or close to it every single night since Dirk's been out, and he's been carrying that load on offense for Dallas. I like Barnes at 6K. Seems like a pretty safe play, especially if Dirk is out. Otto Porter, particularly if Dirk is out. Otto Porter at Philadelphia, 6.3K. He's a tournament play, mainly because there's that bust potential on a given night out of Otto Porter, but we've seen him put up some. There's a 60 FanDuel point night the other night. He's put up some crazy lines recently, and going up against Philadelphia, you just kind of feel like, all right, maybe he can torch these guys. Carmelo versus Detroit, 7.9K. Seems safe. Don't hate it. Don't love it. But Carmelo's been putting up value or close to value pretty much every game lately. Didn't have a terrific game against Detroit earlier this season, but he didn't have a terrible one either. So kind of like that there. Kent Bazemore versus Milwaukee, 4.8K. Put up 31-plus FanDuel points in three of his last five games. Bazemore's just at a decent salary right now. Maybe he has to exert a lot of energy guarding Giannis on defense, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Punt play, Jeff Green versus New Orleans. He's 3.6K, and he's probably still going to start at small forward. So it's like, this is just Jeff Green's been so terrible. But at 3.6K, and if he's starting and playing a good chunk of minutes, there's a potential for him to put up a good night against a crappy team. And then Vince Carter at Los Angeles Clippers, 4.4K, has put up 23-plus FanDuel points in each of the last three games. Vince Carter is playing tons of minutes and doing all right in that time. So if you're looking for a super, you know, a 4.4K option and that's all you got to spend, man, go with those mid-range guys at small forward position, because there's not a lot of sexy lower salaried guys, and there's not necessarily a lot of sexy of the big cash guys. You know, LeBron is fine, KD is fine. They're not, but like, I think Kawhi is the best buy there for the big cash guys. Power forward, big cash guy to look at. Anthony Davis at Orlando, 11.4K. I already talked about this when I was kind of going over the games earlier. People are probably going to be fading Anthony Davis in certain respects because he left the last game with a back issue and then came back, and he's saying things like, I can't sit down without my back tightening up, I believe was a tweet that came out the other night. That's not good. that is not good. If you have ever had back issues, it's not good. But hopefully the training staff with the Pelicans can get them worked out. You don't necessarily hate or love the matchup against Orlando, because Orlando does have some bigs that they can throw at Anthony Davis. And they also have Aaron Gordon, who's kind of a smaller guy with athleticism and strength, who can match up with Anthony Davis in certain respects. So Orlando can throw a lot of different defensive looks at him, and you like that or you don't like that. 11.4K. Davis hasn't really been hitting value lately necessarily, but he's been getting close to it. And the other big money options, like Anthony Davis, is my tournament play, I would say. And then you would probably pick Blake Griffin or Draymond Green as your cash, you know, your cash game guys. Other players to consider at power forward: John Luehr is my value play. At New York, 4.5K, 22-plus FanDuel points in six of his last seven games. This is just a safe play, especially if Andre Drummond is out. This just seems like a super safe play. You're I'm a little bit worried about the Kristaps matchup if New York decides to run more of Kristaps at center, because we saw in New York last game, they sat Joakim Noah for the whole second half. They threw Kristaps out there. They played well. They just looked like a better team. And we're probably going to see more of that Kristaps at center lineup going forward with Carmelo at power forward. It's funny, though, every single time this crap happens where Carmelo gets shifted up to power forward by some coach and then the team plays well, there's always like the caveat of, yeah, but Carmelo only really wants to play power forward in certain – like, dude, trade him. If this is the narrative, and maybe it's just the New York media narratives that come out, you know, like, whatever. Sometimes they just cover too much stuff, especially in regards to Phil Jackson's stupid face. But anyways, if New York is smart and they look and they see what's happened with Detroit in other games where, like on Brooklyn, where every single player was stretching the floor and it pretty much negated Drummond's effect on the game defensively because he wasn't down in the paint doing anything, New York should be starting Kristaps Porzingis. They say, oh, we don't want him. We're going to continue to start Joakim Noah at center for Wednesday night's game, particularly because we're matching up against Andre Drummond and we're going to throw Noah at him. And it's like, yeah, dudes, cool. I get that. But like, is Andre Drummond, he's more of a finesse big man than he is a power big man. Yeah, he'll throw his body into you or whatever, but if you can't take a couple of bumps, it's just not whatever. I think teams looking at matching up with Andre Drummond sometimes instead of just starting a stretch option to draw him out of the paint, I think they're worried too much about his post game, which is interesting, but it's not necessarily the most efficient thing in the world. Other power forwards to consider looking at: Paul Millsap versus Milwaukee, 7.4K. If Dwight's out, you just love the extra possessions potentially that Paul Millsap will have. You like the fact that he'll have to help defend the paint more and potentially have one of his big blocks games. Tobias Harris at New York, 6K. If he gets matched up against Kristaps, I don't know if Kristaps can really stick with him. So you kind of like the matchup, and Tobias has had – he's had his lulls recently in some regards, but overall this season he's been really nice. And at 6K, it's just a reasonable salary. Rashawn Holmes versus Washington. This is a back-to-back set for Philadelphia. So for this first game, you're expected to see Joel Embiid play and have Jahlil Okafor sit out. And then in the next game on Thursday, we expect to see Jahlil Okafor play and Joel Embiid sit out. So on those first nights where Okafor sitting out, we usually see Rashawn Holmes go out and get a lot more minutes at center. 3.7K. He scored 18 plus FanDuel points in three of his last four games. It's just a good low salary play if you don't have a lot of money to spend. Dario Saric in that same game versus Washington, 4K. He's put up 19 plus FanDuel points in each of his last four games. He's getting more consistent. He's finding his groove in the NBA. And at 4K, it's just a seems like a decent play. At 4K, you're going to most likely get your value back or very close to it. If Dwight Howard is out, Mike Muscala versus Milwaukee, 4K. I'm going to have him in tons of lineups. And then the final guy to consider, Jared Dudley at Denver. He's just 4K. He's put up 26-plus FanDuel points in each of his last three games. They've moved him to the bench recently. They've got Marquese Chriss starting in the starting lineup at power forward. Jared Dudley comes off the bench. He works with Brandon Knight. He's kind of like they're the 1-2 punch off the bench there for Phoenix now. So you like that price. Obviously, it's Jared Dudley. He could poop the bed, crap the bed on a given night, but he's been good lately. Don't necessarily want to do the whole follow the points recency bias thing, but the situation did change, and he's been taking advantage of that and capitalizing on it. All right, looking at centers. If you're going to spend money, big money on somebody, DeMarcus Cousins versus San Antonio, he's 9.6K. He scored 44-plus FanDuel points in each of his last four games and already put up 58 FanDuel points on San Antonio in a different game this season. Just seems like a safe play with upside there. for DeMarcus Cousins playing at home against San Antonio on Wednesday. If you want to go for a value play, I'm going to go with Tristan Thompson at Indiana. He's 4.6K, scored 25-plus FanDuel points in 3 of 4 games versus Indiana last season. So you like the situation, you like the matchup, and he's safe. If you want a safe option, Tristan Thompson, 4.6K, reasonable price, like him there. Kind of a cash game guy, more probably than he is a tournament guy, because there's some other players you would probably want to throw into your tournament lineups due to their higher ceiling. Joel Embiid versus Washington, 5.6K. He scored 20-plus FanDuel points in every game this season. The thing about Embiid now is his salary is getting up to about where his ceiling is in certain respects, just because he's still going to be on that 24-minute limit every night, expected to be until Christmas, essentially, is the plan. He's still going to be sitting out back-to-backs, but he has such a high usage percentage, gets the ball fed to him. He's the man whenever he's out there on the court. And 5.6K, it's still a reasonable salary for Joel Embiid, like playing him on Wednesday. Kelly Olynyk versus Dallas, 3.9K, 28-plus FanDuel points in 2 of his first 4 games. If Al Horford is back, that definitely throws a wrench into the Kelly Olynyk situation. Also, there is the possibility that if Dirk is out, we see a lot of small ball lineups out of Boston. Because if Harrison Barnes is starting at power forward, you can almost, maybe not guarantee, but even if Boston were to go out and start Al Horford and Amir Johnson, one of those guys is coming off the court really quick. Because if Harrison Barnes is out there, I almost guarantee Boston's going to be wanting to throw Marcus Smart at him a lot, or maybe even Jaylen Brown. So there's the potential here for Kelly Olynyk to bust out just because he may not get enough run, especially if Al Horford is back. But if Al Horford's not back, 3.9K versus Dallas, like I said, 28-plus FanDuel points in 2 of the first 4 games. It's just the low salary. You got to get Kelly Olynyk into some of your tournaments to see what happens with him on Wednesday. Steven Adams versus Houston, 5.1K. I like it. I don't love it. You like that his salary is not too high. Marcin Gortat at Philadelphia, 6.4K. Not a bad play to consider. And then the final guy I was kind of intriguing to look at right now, Pau Gasol at Sacramento. He's 6K. He's put up 27-plus FanDuel points in each of his last 3 games. The Spurs are giving him big minutes right now. We've seen since Tony Parker, Danny Green, that lineup has played together. The normal starting lineup for San Antonio has played together the last couple games, and it's led to, I don't know if there's a correlation or just if it's circumstantial, but Pau Gasol is finally playing huge minutes. He's playing over 30 minutes a night. When Pau Gasol plays big minutes, he's going to put up good production. So at 6K, he's an interesting option. And there's always a possibility that he only plays 22 minutes, bottoms out on you. But at 6K, it's worth the risk. I definitely would have Pau Gasol in some of my tournament lineups on Wednesday night. Hey, that was a relatively quick show. So I do appreciate you listening, but that's it. I love you. And again, my name is Kyle McCune. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. We use Basketball Monsters tools and things to help sort through and build our outlines every night. So if you are curious about where we get some of the data we talk about or where we're just kind of looking at all that stuff, it's all off Basketball Monster. Their DFS pages are super dope. And I work there. So, I mean, I think everybody knows that. But anyways, okay. I love you. Have a good day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye.